I would have you turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is where we'll be. I try not to be long tonight, but I just want to tell you thank you again, Quartet, for those wonderful songs packed with truth that ministers to our hearts. And we'll mention this. If you have an opportunity to go by, they do have a table set up. They have their CDs from over the years that you might be interested in. They have them back there. I'm sure they'll have somebody by the table to be able to let you take a look at those. And I know that'd be an encouragement to you. We'll see here in Psalm 121. I'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll go ahead and read through all of the 8 verses. Psalm 121 says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do come before you rejoicing in your great goodness. Lord, you are the mighty God, the mighty King, who cares much for us. And Lord, I'm thankful for the quartet that you sent our way for such a time as this. Thank you for their encouragement, Lord. Thank you for how you've blessed them with beautiful voices and these great gifts that they're using and to encourage the saints and to magnify the Savior. Thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, now I pray as we now look to your Word, I pray that you would continue this ministry of encouragement in the hearts of your people tonight. Lord, I do pray that you would take the Word and use it in a mighty way, and we'll be very grateful for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We have here Psalm 121 that's been titled as a pilgrim song. A pilgrim song, or a pilgrim psalm. And also we see that this is very obviously someone that I like to consider the fourth watch. Now, I know a little bit about fourth watch. Again, being in the military, you will be assigned different watches. We have 4 watches, and as a non-rate, you'd always be given the worst watch. And I'll explain more about that here in just a moment. But a pilgrim song, someone passing through and someone looking, may I remind you, looking for some hope, looking for some light, looking for some assistance. Aren't we all standing in the need of assistance? I believe we all are in some way. Every one of us are standing in need this evening for God to intervene, for God to help and give strength. And boy, we look at this psalm and see it so clearly. I'd like to title this message tonight simply, "Under His Watch Care." Aren't you glad we're under His watch care? Oh, I'm so thankful that we are under the watch care of Almighty God, that we don't have to be concerned whether or not He's going to be watching carefully. And we'll see that here in the passage. You know, look there in verse 1 with me, please. It says here, He's going to lift up His eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, no one really knows exactly why He's looking to the hills. There are some speculations. There are some different things. One says, well, that's where the direction He's going, the direction He's traveling, and He's looking for the Lord to help Him in the place that He's going. It also carries the place of danger. That as He goes through the places of danger and darkness, He's going to be looking to the Lord. And by the way, that's exactly what we're going to do.
We're going to look to the Lord. Our sight is going to be upward. But it also carries the idea of looking unto the hills as looking for that expected hope. Just trusting God to help us and move in a special way. His sight was upward. Hold your place there and look over in Psalm 25. Just flip over there to Psalm 25, not far. Psalm 25, verse 1 says this, "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." The idea there is desire, a longing, an expectation that he was looking for the Lord to work. Can I ask you something tonight, church? Are you expecting God to work in your life? Are you longing for Him to work in your life? We see His sight. It was set upward. We see in Colossians, Paul told the church of Colossae, hey, set your affections on things above. Set them on high. Set them up to the Lord. And that is where His direction, the direction of His eyes was pointed. And His affections. And boy, that's where the help's going to come from. It's going to come from the Lord. And we see that in verse 2. We see His sight, but secondly, we see His source. The direction of His sight was to the hills, and from whence cometh His help. And in verse 2, we see the source, which is, my help cometh from what? The Lord. The Lord, Jehovah. The covenant-keeping God, as we read this morning, as we in our message from this morning, God is faithful to keep His covenant, which made heaven and earth. His source here is the all-powerful, almighty God. I'll never forget it, folks. I was at a church over in Greenwood, and just so happens that night, they had youth night. And that night they had several of their young people doing music, sort of like we're going to be doing a week from tonight. And this one young man, and they got up, and if you can call them sermonettes or whatever, but he just had a short message he had written up, and I'm sure that's what God had put on his heart. Nothing fancy, but he brought up and he started delivering his message, and it was on fear. And then it was on the power of God. And he made a statement. It wasn't the best grammar, but I don't always use the best grammar either. But he said this. He made this statement. I'll never forget it. I'm sure the young man was probably 15 years old. But it spoke to my heart, and I'll never forget it. It still sticks with me today. He said this about being afraid of things. He said, how are you going to be afraid when God's on your side? That came out of the mouth of a 15-year-old young man. How are you going to be scared? How are you going to be afraid when God's on your side? He put things in perspective, didn't he? And boy, we can get overwhelmed with things, but I'm telling you what, if we can get our eyes on the Lord, from whence cometh our help, that is where we will find the strength we need. His source was the Lord, the Creator. Almighty God of heaven and earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, all in all. It's Him that brings our help and our deliverance. Oh, praise God for that. Thirdly, not only do we see His sight and then we see the source, but I want us to see from this source, the Lord God, I want to see where He slumbers not. Look at verse 3. It says He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Look at verse 4. Behold, He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Can I tell you, folks, God is never on break. He's never on break. He's always on watch, totally aware of every situation. I don't know. I think there's over 7 billion people on earth now. I think it's surpassed 7 billion. I'm pretty sure. Every situation of His children and even all those around the world, He's beholding the good and the evil, and especially His children, He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly the troubles that are there. And He's not sleeping. He's not on break. Oh, wow. What an encouraging truth this evening. as we think about our God who slumbers not. You know, we as humans, we slumber, don't we? Some of you are slumbering now, right now in your seat. But we do. We slumber. We get tired. We get weak. I'll never forget it, folks. I'm sorry. I just have to use my life experiences, but I'll never forget it in boot camp one time. We were in the squad bay. It was about 70 of us. Man, old skint heads. And boy, we were all afraid and wondering how these boot camp commanders were going to kill us. And we just didn't know how we were going to lose our life. And every morning, he would come up and he would probably either blow his whistle or he would just use this sounded sort of satanic voice in the mornings, and we all were feared for our lives. Get up! And man, we would start scrambling, and what we were required to do, most of us, we hop out of your bed, get out, get your jogging suit on, you know, your t-shirt, shorts, and your shirt and shoes. You had to put it all in like within 60 seconds and then be standing at the foot of your bunk. We had the bunks and you had to be standing at position of attention, all right? It's just like this, feet at a 45-degree angle, palms by your side, looking straight forward, okay? And standing at your bunk. He would come and he would walk. The first thing he would do is he would sometimes walk down the middle. Sometimes he'd walk behind us where the lockers were. The lockers were on the other side of the bunk. And he would open them up for inspection to see if they were exactly perfect. But then he would come along us and look us up and down. Sometimes he'd get right in front of your face. You know, you're just trying to intimidate you, but I'll never forget it. Boy, they would have us up late, get us up early, and some of us would just be so exhausted. Well, this one friend of mine, I felt so bad for him. He was directly beside me. And I'm standing at position of attention. The company commander is walking down. So at this point, no one can say a word. We can't even budge. But at the corner of my eye, my peripheral vision, I can see my buddy starting to waver a little bit. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. I can't say, hey, because then I would have been beat. But before I know it, folks, it went from this. The poor fella did a complete face plant. Kaboom! And I'm telling you, he didn't wake up till he hit the ground. And when he woke up, that rascal, he woke up, man, he had busted his head wide open. And boy, he shot up, and he was so scared, he got back to the bunk and tried to sit back up. He's got blood coming down his face, and the company commander ran up to him and said, "You idiot! Get out of here and get to the doctor's office," where the squad bay was, where we had the first aid office. He's like, "You idiot!" But you know, we are weak, aren't we? We can fall asleep. We can slumber. We can get caught off guard. We get tired. We get lazy. Things just fall off, go out of the way because we get tired. But I want to tell you, dear people, God never gets tired. He never slumbers. He doesn't doze off. He's totally in tune with our situations. And He's totally in tune with our problems. He knows exactly what's going on. And He knows exactly what He's going to do. He slumbers not. Not only does he not slumber, but looks fourthly here, we see he shades. He gives cover. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." He says, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." You know what he's saying right here? He's saying he'll give you cover. He'll give you cover. He'll give you that protection that you need. As we read in the Word of God and other, in the shadow of His wings, we can rejoice because of the cover. Now, I want to tell you, just like over in Israel, and even right here in Georgia, and I remember specifically in the Sahara Desert, as we lived there for 3 years, I can remember how intense that sun would be. And those Africans, the Nigerians, they were professionals at finding the right kind of shade. The right kind of shade tree. And when the heat would be 130, 140 degrees, boy, you would just be longing for some shade. And that's why they wear those turbans. A lot of people say, well, why do you wear those things on your head out there with it being so hot? Well, you can only imagine. It protects you from the direct sunlight. And that's what this verse is simply saying. God will protect you from the intense times in your life where you feel like there is such an intensity of heat upon your life spiritually. You feel like you're under the sun. You know what the Lord God does? He comes over us and provides the shade we so desperately need. He gives us that cover that we need. You know, one of the most dangerous times to be out and there in the desert where I was at night. And we see here too, when he speaks of the moon by night, that is very, very easily could be referenced to the danger that was always referenced with being out at night. Same place here. You go out at places in certain parts of our community, especially late at night, you're asking for trouble. And the travel and this pilgrim here, as he was traveling, you know what he trusted that the Lord would do? Give him the shade that he needed, that he desperately needed. He gave him shade. I want to tell you, if you feel like you're under the intense sun of one of the things that are going on in your life, perhaps you feel like you're in danger, can I tell you, look to the Lord God. He is your shade. He is your cover. He is your protection. And how we can rejoice in that. And then, fifthly, I see here that He not only shades, but He secures. Look at verses 7 and 8. It says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." And then verse 8, preservation again. "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." We see several questions here. And by the way, when you study your Bible, you should be asking questions. Who? What? Where? When? How? Write out those questions as you study the Word of God and answer those questions according to the Scripture. If you can't find it right in the verse, go look at a different verse. Open up a Bible dictionary. But these are the things you should ask. And we see here, he talks about who the Lord will preserve. When will He preserve? We see what will He do to preserve? What is He preserving? He's preserving us, His children. And he says, when? Thy going out and thy coming in. Now listen, whether you're going out into trouble or whether you're coming in from trouble, the Lord will preserve us. As we come through this life as pilgrims of the Lord God, He promises preservation. How long will He do that? Well, look what it says. How long? It says in verse 8, thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and what? Even for what? Evermore. Hey, the Lord has secured us. We're in the hands of Almighty God, and no man shall pluck us out of His hand. I'm telling you right now, God's grip upon our lives is like none other. I'm telling you what, I can't imagine if someone were to try to come and snatch little Caroline out of my arms, or little Thomas, or little Mary Ann. I would grip them with my whole life. There's no way I would let them go. I would secure them with all of my life. They would have to kill me to let me go. Well, I want to tell you something, nobody can kill God. And He grips us with a godly grip and the almighty grip where no man can harm you and preserve you from all evil. The Word of God says that. And He will preserve us. Look over there in Romans chapter 8. In closing, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. He will preserve us, folks. Nothing shall harm us outside of the protection of God. And what He allows, my dear friend, it still comes with His preservation. Look at verse 35. Chapter 8, verse 35. Listen to the Word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen to these things that God preserves us even through. He preserves us even in tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Listen to this. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, what a beautiful picture of the preservation of Almighty God upon His children. Hey, we're going to look into the hills this evening. We're looking into the Lord from whence cometh our help. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. I can remember very clearly, Brother Jeff, being up on that watch. And I can remember being in that crow's nest. That thing was probably about the same exact size as this pulpit. And I can remember up there at that fourth watch, man, we had to be up. They'd wake us up at 3 a.m. I had to be up there by 3:30. And you couldn't drink coffee because it hurt your night vision. So when we would get up there, you know, 3:30, first hour wasn't too bad, but then that 4:30, I can remember being up on that crow's nest up in the ocean, especially when it's calm. You can see all the stars, and you can just hear the rudders turning in the back and the water churning, but it's just so quiet. And man, you just, you're so tempted to just want to, your eyes get lazy, and you start slumping. It's such a temptation to slumber. I'd have to constantly sort of move around and keep moving myself, but it was a temptation to truly slumber even on that watch. And we had guys who got in big trouble because we would come up and those in our authority, higher ranking, would come up and find guys asleep that had truly just kind of made a pillow, if you will, and fell asleep. And you're talking big time trouble. Huge amount of trouble. Captain's mass, where you just the things that you wouldn't believe if you got caught sleep on the watch. But that was a temptation. And I can only imagine the temptation that we experienced. But I want to tell you, we can be comforted tonight that we don't have to worry about God getting sleepy. He's totally aware of what's going on, folks. Will you trust Him? Will you look to Him? I remember one thing I looked forward to. Well, before that cup of coffee, okay? That would be the first thing going down that I would be like, let me get some coffee, all right? But I'll tell you honestly what I was looking for. I was looking for daybreak. I was just Lord, let's get, Lord, I'm just looking forward to the darkness to disappear and start seeing a beautiful sunrise. And that was a reward to be on that watch. It was so dark and you're so tired, but boy, you started seeing daybreak. And before long on the Caribbean Ocean, boy, you'd see the peak of the sun come up and you perk up and you get awake. And I'm telling you, that's what is a picture here of looking to the hills. Listen, maybe he was looking for that sunrise. He was just waiting for that watch to be over. But I'm telling you, he was looking to the Lord God. And that's what I trust the Lord will help us do, even tonight, whatever we're going through, trusting the One who never sleeps. Let's pray. Father, I thank You again for the Word of God. I thank You for how precious it is. Lord, thank You for never sleeping nor slumbering. Thank You, Lord, that You're never distracted. I'm thankful, God, that you're always totally attentive to each one of our situations. It's not like you have to be on the other side of the globe for their problems. And then, Lord, you come over here and help ours, or you have to go help this family and that family. But God, you're helping us simultaneously. And how thankful we are for that, God. And your power in that. Lord, we look to you tonight for the help we so desperately need. And we praise you for what you're doing. And I do ask now, Lord, that you'll bless even in the invitational time. Oh God, help us. Draw us nearer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if the quartet wouldn't come up and sing an invitational song. If you men, young lady, piano player, if y'all don't mind, just come and a song that you think would be appropriate and singing. We're going to just open it up. If you need to just pray in your seat, if you need to come find a place at the altar, I would encourage you to do that. I'm going to have a word of prayer here, and then we're going to commit this invitation into the Lord. Father, I do look to You. Oh God, on the behalf of our church and on the behalf of every family that's represented here tonight, Lord, we look to You for our help. Forgive us, Lord, for being tempted to think that You've sort of fallen on Your watch, thinking that maybe You've gotten sleepy and we don't have Your full attention. Lord, forgive us for that. And may we be reminded tonight that we do have Your full attention. And Lord, I pray that You would meet needs tonight that only You can. And Father, we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.